Good morning. First, let's open our Bibles, James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Did you have a good Thanksgiving? Was it quiet? No fights? No shouting? You listening to one another? You see where I'm getting at. James chapter 1, let's read verses 19 and 20. My dear brothers, take note of this. We should all know this by now, right? Quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. It does not literally bring about the righteousness of God. So these are three things I think that we all really need to think about and apply to our lives, right? So let me ask you, how are you doing with these things? Have you even thought about it before you said something that you shouldn't have said? Have you thought about it just for a split second there? We need to learn how to listen to each other and most importantly, learn how to listen to God, because we're talking, we don't hear what God has to say. Be still and know that He's God. So to be quick to listen, to be slow to speak, I want to repeat some of this stuff because it's so important. How often do our mouths get us into trouble? You know, we really don't need to blurt out everything we think. Some people think that just because they think it, they need to say it. It's probably a small percentage of what we think we should say, rather than 100%, you know. Being slow to speak means to wait to hear the whole story, to control your words, not speak without thinking. Shows humility and respect for others. Avoid saying things you later regret. Be deliberate, unhurried, and careful when speaking. That's so important. You know, the Proverbs says this, that death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. So, you know, good can come out or bad can come out. We're going to eat the fruit no matter whether it's good fruit or bad fruit. We're going to eat the fruit. You know, we're going to reap what we sow. Solomon said there's a time to be silent and a time to speak. But this verse in Ephesians, we're going to come to Ephesians later. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Usually what we're saying is for ourselves. But Paul says we should be saying things for others, to help them, not to build ourselves up or to build our case about ourselves. Look at verse 26 there. James says it, doesn't he? If anyone considers himself religious yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, we sang that this morning, and he deceives himself, and his religion is worthless. So what do? We need to pray and ask God to set a guard. We need God's help to do it. We just have to see that God will help us. His word says, it's a prayer, Psalm 141, verse 3. So today we're on part 3 of the triad, and this is where we are. My wife took this of me last night. That's kind of how it is, isn't it? You know, but that's not what, if I left that up there, you'd get crazy. But, you know, he says to be slow to anger. Now, he doesn't say never be angry, because there are times when it's right to be angry. There are times, you know, in a place for that. But Jesus got angry, right? He, you know, but how often was it that Jesus got angry? It was actually rare. There was a time for it, but a rare occasion for him. And so I think it's probably true for us as well. It's a rare occasion when it's right for us to just get flat out angry. But that doesn't seem to be where we are. Generally speaking, we get angry a lot. Got this short fuse and, this quick temper. But you know what? The truth of the matter is, and I think James is bringing it out here as well as many other scriptures we're going to talk about, is that it's destructive. It's not helpful. It doesn't do what we think it does. Here it says in verse 20, it does not bring about the righteous life or the righteousness of God. Man's anger doesn't bring that out. It doesn't perform it. The word means to accomplish or to achieve or to produce, to result in. It doesn't bring about good stuff. You know, when you think about the righteousness of God, and you think about this word righteousness, it doesn't mean that, you know, self-righteous, and you know, we use that word in a kind of a different way. You know, somebody's so righteous. But the word means to be right, just like it says there. The righteousness means, it comes from the word right-wiseness. If you look it up, you look up the etymology of it, that's what you'll find, you see. And so it means to be right with, in this state of being right. And ultimately there are two things, or two areas that applies to. One is to be right with God. That's number one. Being angry doesn't help you be right with God, does it? And the second one is to be right with other people. How often being angry helps you to be right with other people when you just get all angry and get in their face? When was the last time that, you know, some outburst of anger that you and I had actually made things right? It made it all better. Rarely. This thing about being right with God, you know, we have to... That's number one, and this is what Christmas is all about, that God sent His Son so that we could be made right with God. And we need to be right with God. Chris talked about it. This is like what the most important thing in life is that you and I are right with God. Well, if we're all angry all the time, we're not going to be right with God. We need to just stop and listen. John Corson said, being ticked off, hot under the collar, doesn't accomplish anything that proves to be right, ever, he says. But this is what God desires. Man's anger doesn't bring about the righteous life or the righteousness of God that God desires, that God wants. God wants us to be right with Him and to be right with others. So we should listen. We should pay attention. Now, I have to kind of look at this in a different light. Is there any righteous anger? Is there anybody that actually has righteous anger? Well, if you do a study and look up the instances of anger and angry and wrath, the different words that are used in the Bible, predominantly it speaks about who? God. You see, God is the only one that is always, His anger, His wrath is always completely and totally right and righteous and good. Not so with us. John 3, verse 36 said this, "Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on them." See, there's something, you know. I believe in the love of God. Believe me. But that's, God isn't one-faceted. God has, you know, so many facets to His personality, to His character, and one of them is the wrath of God, and that He will bring about what we ask for. Romans chapter 1 says, "The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and the wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. You see, there's, you say, well, how can, you know, well, God is a righteous and holy God, and you know, the wickedness, the sin of the human race. This is real stuff, people. But later in Romans chapter 5, it says this, since we have now been justified, and this is another way of talking about being made right by His blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Him? That is, through Jesus. We've been made right by the blood of His Son, and we don't have to fear the wrath of God. In fact, 1 Thessalonians tells us that Jesus rescues us from the coming wrath. So I didn't want to talk about us and our anger and that without also pointing out that this is a facet, this is part of God's character, that He is completely and righteous and holy. And we say, well, how could God do that? Well, if God does something, it's always right. It's always pure. Not so with you and me. Have you noticed when you get angry, how does it make you feel? Oh, I feel so good when I get angry. It just makes me feel so strong, so healthy. Is that true? Uh-uh. Man, you can get just even a little bit of anger and you start to feel, you feel horrible. I feel horrible. Why is that? You know, you can look it up. You know, the adrenal glands, you know, they just flood your body with all these, you know, hormones, stress hormones, adrenaline, cortisol, and all kinds of other stuff. And so all this stuff is taking place within your body, and it's not good. They say that it can actually cause you to have a heart attack. Is that why I had a heart attack? It can cause hypertension, stroke. It can cause all kinds of stuff because it puts this stress on the heart. How else does it affect us? Disrupts digestion. Is that ever true? You get so angry you can't even eat. Or you get other problems. You know what I'm saying? How about affecting our mental and emotional health? How about our sleep? You ever get angry, so angry you couldn't sleep and you're just awake at night just stewing over that thing? Just got to do something. You know, if we would listen, if we would be slow to speak, we would probably have less anger. But because we're not listening, because we are speaking so much, we're quick to anger. We're not really paying attention. We're not really hearing what's going on. We're not listening to the other person. And we're ready just to jump back in. So we jump right in, and anger is just right there blasting. You know, thinking about a couple of examples in the Bible, you know, Moses, you heard of him? You know, Moses had kind of an anger issue. If you read about him in his life, you can see it. And I love Moses. Moses is, you know, he's an incredible person in the Bible, and God used him in incredible ways. Sometimes his anger was justified. When he was dealing with Pharaoh, right? He was in the, whatever it was, wherever Pharaoh was at the time. The what?
Palace.
The palace, there we go. I was going to say castle, but that didn't kind of fit, so. But he was dealing with Pharaoh, and you know, he got really angry with Pharaoh. And it was right. Because Pharaoh was not doing the right thing. Now, maybe, you know, if he'd been listening to God a little bit more, he would have held back some of that anger because God was working and God had a plan. And He was going to work out that plan. When Moses was up on the hill, right, receiving the Ten Commandments, right, he had the tablets and he came down and he heard singing and partying and all this stuff going on. And what was going on? worshiping the golden calf, and he got downright angry, didn't he? In fact, he took the tablets, right? And what did he do? He threw them down. I mean, the anger maybe was justified, but his reaction and, you know. But in the end, this guy, Moses, in the end, he got angry again, and it kept him out of the promised land. He was not allowed to go into the promised land because he got angry and he misrepresented God. You remember the story? There were two occasions when they had no water, and the first occasion God said, you know, strike the rock and water will come out. And he struck the rock and water came out. The second occasion, God told him what? Speak to the rock. But he got so angry that he went and struck the rock. God told him to speak to the rock. He got angry and he struck the rock. And God said, you know what? That you're not obeying me and you're misrepresenting what I had said. And God said, you know what? You're not going to go into the promised land. He got to see. He looked out over it, but he was not allowed to go in. So anger has, you know, it has repercussions. It has things that happen to us, and we have to understand that. You know, our prisons are full of people who could not control their anger and did things that they should not have done. Is that true? Then they got a lot of time to think about it. One other example, how about Cain? This is the first kid born, right, on the planet. First child born on the planet. And you know, he got angry, and what did he do? He killed his brother. He murdered his brother. Because he didn't understand, he wasn't listening to God. In fact, God told Cain this, and I'm quoting from Genesis 4. The Lord said to Cain, he was very angry, his face was downcast. The Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it. That's interesting, isn't it? God told him, he said, you're about to lose it. You're about to do stuff that, you know, is not going to be good. But he didn't listen to God. And he got so angry that he killed his brother. And all because he wasn't listening. He didn't understand what God was doing. It had to do with, you know, offerings. You can read the whole account. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it. Anger. Proverbs 27 says, anger is cruel and fury is overwhelming. Anger is cruel. Fury is overwhelming. How about Proverbs 29? Again, James, our Proverbs guy, he says, an angry person stirs up conflict in a hot tempered person commits many sins. Now, I know some of you are thinking, well, you know, that's the other guy. That's the other person that does that. That doesn't ever happen to me. You know, my wife tells me, she says, you know, people tell me, you know, it must be wonderful to live with you because you're so calm and you never get angry and all this stuff. And she just laughs. And I go like, wait a minute. And then I get angry. No. But you know, this is us, people. This is you. This is me. And if we don't realize it, we're going to stir things up. We're going to do stupid things. Commits many sins, the Proverbs writer says. In fact, he says in Proverbs 22, don't make friends with a hot-tempered person. Don't associate with one easily angered, or you may learn their ways and get yourself ensnared. You hang out with somebody who's got a hot temper, you know what? You start to become like that too. That's true about a lot of things. You hang out, he who walks with the wise becomes wise. He who walks with the, you know, foolish becomes foolish, that kind of thing, and it's the same. Solomon says, do not be quickly provoked in your spirit, for anger resides in the lap of fools. This is foolish. Don't be quick to anger. Be slow to anger. You know, I read this story. I read this book, and it's just a fiction book, but there were basically two characters in there. One was a woman who was had a terminal disease, right? She had only, you know, maybe a couple of months to live. And so she had decided, she had made this list of like seven people that she had done wrong to. And she said, I am going to go to each one of those people and make it right. Apologize, ask for forgiveness. And so that's what she had decided to do. And this friend and neighbor was helping her because physically she was in a real bad place, obviously. And the friend was helping her. But I found this interesting. The friend said to her, aren't you angry that they hurt you or other people had hurt you about those that had hurt you? He says, but they just go on about their lives as if nothing happened. Aren't you angry about that? Is that ever true of us? You know, we think if somebody has done something to us and we're still so angry about it. But this was her answer. She says, not anymore. I don't have enough life left for anger. Isn't that good? How much time, how much life do you have left to be stewing about things, to be angry? Just, I don't have enough life left for that. I don't have enough time for that. The psalmist says, refrain from anger and turn away from wrath. You and I make choices. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 and 32, get rid, put off all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. Instead, do something different. Instead, be kind, be compassionate, be forgiving. There's something about forgiveness. It's important. It's probably one of the most important things in all the Bible. I heard David Jeremiah talking about it this morning. The most important thing is that we are forgiven by God. I was reminded of an instance in my life when I was working in Connecticut, driving back and forth, working in a factory. And this is a great job, but you know that the church was growing, and I thought, you know, if I could just go like to part-time work, that would be great. And so I went to the manager, I went to the boss, and I said, you know, would it be okay if I worked part-time? And he said no. He was actually not very nice about it. But it's just his personality. He wasn't kind of a friendly kind of sort. He just said no. And so I said, oh, okay. And so, but I got really angry. I could barely walk down the hall and see this guy and not just like be, you know, steam coming out. I was so angry at him, you know. And I was really convicted by that, and I began to just pray for him. I don't know where I read it or I just heard it somewhere to pray for him. And so I began to pray for him, praying God's blessing on him and this guy that I was so angry at. And you know what? Things changed. He didn't change his mind. But guess who changed? Yeah, me. I changed. I wasn't angry at him anymore. I could actually smile at him. But the interesting thing about it is that I realized after that I was supposed to just let it go, let the job go. I was supposed to stop working there. And that's what I did. But in a couple of weeks or 3 or 4 weeks later, I got a phone call from the company, and guess what? Can you come back and work part-time for us? And we'll pay you more than we were paying you before. See, what did my anger accomplish? Really nothing. I wasn't hearing what God was saying. I finally heard what God said, and he said, you need to let that go. I'm going to take care of you. Paul says in Romans chapter 12, don't take revenge, my dear friends. Leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. We need to let him take care of it. And when we get angry so much, I got to take care of this. And we make a mess of things. We commit those many sins. We stir up conflict. One last scripture I'll put up for you, Ephesians chapter 4. We've already read in 4:29, speaking about what comes out of our mouths. We read here in 4:31, we need to be kind and compassionate, forgiving. But earlier he says these words, in your anger, do not sin. And do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. Do not give the devil a foothold. In your anger, do not sin. Now, we're going to get angry. You know, we're human. We're living in these bodies. We are reacting to different things that happen to us. But he says, in your anger, do not sin. Be careful. Stop. Hey, I'm angry now. I need to be very careful about what I say and what I do. That's, you know, people say, well, you got to go out for a walk or something. Count to 10, whatever, count to 500, whatever it takes, but don't let it, you know, cross over to when we do stupid things. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. That's a good thing. What he's saying there is that, you know, you got to deal with this. Don't let this go on forever and ever. I know family members, that are so angry they haven't talked to one another in 20 years. I've seen it. How often we stretch these things out. We're holding on to these things. And in a marriage relationship, you know, how many times that anger, we're holding on to it and destroys the relationship. We need to let it go. We need to give it to God, and we need to ask forgiveness and realize that we had a part in it some way, somehow. But don't give the devil a foothold. You see, the devil, you know, when we hold on to anger, when we're not forgiving, it's like he's got like a grasp on us. And that's not what we want. It's not what we want at all. Don't give the devil a foothold. Think about, you know, the church, we're here on Devil's Foot Road, right? You know, I go to places and I'll say, oh, yeah, well, I'm going to get this for the church. And they say, okay, what's the address? Devil's Foot Road. And they just kind of snicker. And I'll say, oh, that's interesting. And I get so angry and I just go right at them. No, just kidding. But, you know, we don't want to let the devil have a foothold. And one of the things about this place here is it's a place of peace. Now, have we had times where we got angry and things have happened that shouldn't have happened? Yes. And God forgive us for those things. But you know what? We're not going to let the devil continue to have a foothold. And we have to make a choice. This is God's house. I read this morning in Psalm 122. Let me just quote it or read it to you so I don't misquote it. Psalm 122 says, I rejoiced with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet are standing in your gates, O Jerusalem. I rejoiced with those who said, let us go to the house. Let's be together. Let's worship God. Let's fellowship. Let's, you know, study the word. Let's learn and grow together. Let's help one another. Let's encourage one another and challenge one another to stay on the path. Another thing I heard David Jeremiah say that nowadays, he said, you know, David, he's like 80 years old or something. He said, you know, it was easier being a pastor, you know, early on in his ministry. He says, but now there are so many things in our society, in our world, that are like off ramps to get off the path and to go in this direction or that direction. There's so much distraction. There's so many things pulling at us. So we need to keep an eye on each other, really. Help one another. Stay on the path. I rejoice with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet are standing in your gates, O Jerusalem. There's a place for Jerusalem, but there's also a place for us, the church. Amen? Amen. Quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger, for man's anger does not achieve, not bring about the righteousness of God. That what God desires, seek first his righteousness. And all these things will be added to you. Let's pray together, shall we? And just as we begin to pray, I just want us to think about our speaking, our listening, our anger. This is real. This is God's word. And this is what God is saying to us, to me, to each one of us. Quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. Father, just as we saw with the speaking, we need your help. We are foolish. We don't understand so often because we haven't listened, and we get angry. We blow up. We blow it, really, is what happens. God, forgive us, and I pray you'd help us. Show us a better way. Show us that instead, tender-hearted, forgiving, caring for one another. Father, I confess it's not easy sometimes. Help us to slow down and get it right. Father, I thank you for sending your Son, Jesus, and that he is here. He's willing to help us even with these things. But mostly that being right with you comes through knowing Jesus as our Savior, as our Lord. So today I pray and I thank you, Father, for sending your Son to be the sacrifice, to be the Savior of the world through what he did on that cross. For all who would say yes to Jesus, that life is available. I encourage you, if you haven't done that, truly, truly, truly give your life to him. He will change you from the inside out and give you a brand new life. And not only that, eternal life, life in heaven forever. And Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing together, shall we?